It will fail because of me, that's for sure. We usually don't get along very well. But thank God for Chris back there.
Amen.
Amen. All right, so before we get into it, I know we've prayed a good bit and we've worshiped, but I like to open up preaching in prayer. So if you all would just bow your heads and let's say a prayer real quick. Father God, we come together in prayer, Lord. We thank you for your holy words, Lord. We thank you for this special book that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for the name of Jesus, which is above every name, God. We pray, Lord, that you would help us, Father, to just get our flesh out of the way, God. Get our hearts, our minds, our just on the same page as you are, God. I pray that you would speak to every one of our hearts tonight through the preaching of your word, God. I pray that you get me out of your way, Lord, and that you just minister to your lambs and your sheep here tonight, Father. Pray, God, that you would be glorified and that your word would be exalted. In Jesus' name, we pray it to your glory, Lord. Amen. All right, so tonight I'm going to be talking to you folks about choosing friends. That sounds like a pretty simple thing. It almost sounds kind of silly, really, but in fact, if we look at it, and we will, it's actually a pretty deep subject. It's a very important subject, as a matter of fact. And so if you would please turn to Proverbs chapter 13 with me before we begin. Proverbs chapter 13, before we get started here. Proverbs chapter 13, and we're going to look at verses 20 and 21. It says this, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid." And so we see here the Word of God tells us that he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And so it matters who you walk with.
Yes, sir.
It matters who you decide to join hands with. It matters whose counsel you stand in. And it matters who you decide to align yourself with, to be a companion to. Because it says the companion of fools shall be destroyed. Right? So what does it mean to be a friend? Or what does it mean to walk with somebody? Because, I mean, if you're a friend of somebody, you guys are walking together, right? What does it mean to walk with somebody? Well, if you're walking with somebody, it means that you go where they go. You do what they do. You are seen together in public. Or maybe you're found together in private. Your identities are intertwined together, whether you like it or not, and you will be associated with one another. Now, this can be a good thing, or it can be a bad thing. Like the one who puts himself in the presence of wise men, that's a good thing. But the one who puts himself in the presence of fools, well, it's going to lead to destruction. That's a bad thing. That's a very bad thing. And so it is very important who you choose to walk with. It is a choice. It is a choice that all of us have, and we have to make that choice. If you would please now go with me to Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to begin to get a little deeper into this subject. Proverbs chapter 1. And so we looked at the fact that it is very important who you choose to walk with, but now we're going to look a little deeper and look at how important it is who you choose not to walk with. That's just as important. And we're going to look at verses 10 through 19 in the wisdom that's given here. Verse 10 says this in Proverbs chapter 1. "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. and they lay wait for their own blood, and they lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. And so we see that those people that we are admonished not to walk with, their path leads to destruction, just like the fool. We're told not to be a companion of those people. He tells us here that we are not to walk in the way with them. And I want to explain something to you. Verse 10, he says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." And every one of us at some point in our lives is going to be enticed by someone who is not right with God to do something that is not right with God.
Amen.
And we need to be strong enough, and we need to have enough courage, and we need to have enough character, and we need to know what the Bible says so that we can make the right decision on who to walk with and who not to walk with. Because there are people that we are to receive and be companions with. There are people that we need to reject. And so he tells us, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And I want to tell you today that that sinner might not always look like a bad guy. I mean, what they're talking about here is murder and robbery and things of that nature. But that might not always look like some bandit with a mask on and a bag in his hand and a pistol in his hand. That might look like somebody that appears to be your friend. It might be somebody that appears to have your best interest at heart. It might be somebody that's very persuasive that wants you to do something that they play off as a good idea, and it's not. They're going to come to you as if what they're trying to get you to do is for your benefit. But you need to be wise. And you need to surround yourself with wise people so that when that person comes, you can say, "No, no, no. My God tells me not to walk with you. No, no, no. My God tells me I shouldn't try that drug. I don't care what you say it does for me or what experience I may have. My God tells me not to take that bottle and put it to my mouth. I don't care how good you say it is or what it does for me. My God tells me not to put my money here because that's not supporting something that I should support. My God tells me not to take something that's not mine. These men are greedy. They don't have your best interest at heart. You need to be careful of people that pretend to have your best interest at heart, but they do not. We are not to walk with them. We need to make sure that their priorities line up with what this book says. But before we do that, we need to make sure our priorities line up
Amen.
With what this book says.
Yes, preacher.
It's very important who we decide not to walk with. Very important who we decide not to walk with. If you would, turn with me to Psalm chapter 1. And I want to tell you that your decision of who you will walk with and who you will spend your time with and who you will join in friendship must be based upon the Bible.
Right.
It must be based upon the Word of God. And I want to say something about friendship today. Something that I've never had one, a Facebook account. And I'm not saying if you have a Facebook that you're evil or anything like that. There's a right way to use things and there's a wrong way to use things. But I want to say that the idea of a friend in today's culture that we live in has drastically been downplayed.
That's right.
If you say, "Oh, I've got, 500 or 600 friends," my question to you is, how well do you know that person? My question to you is, how many times have you ever met that person? You know, the idea of a friend, that being a friend is something much deeper. It is a relationship. It is a walk with someone. How can you say you have a friend if you've never walked with that person? But because of things like social media and Facebook and all these other things, we're told that these people are our friends. They're our friends. Well, they're not your friend unless you know them personally to be your friend, unless that relationship has been tried and proven. And so we need to be careful who we call our friend. And it needs to be based off this book. It needs to be based on a relationship around God's Word. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't have people in your life that you've known that aren't saved and you can't have anything to do with them. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. We're supposed to get the gospel to people that don't have Jesus Christ in their hearts. But what I'm saying is we need to draw a line as to how far we go with that person. We need to make sure we know who we're walking with before we decide to walk with them. There's a difference between giving the gospel to somebody or having supper with somebody and yoking up with somebody that you shouldn't be yoking up with.
Amen.
And so look with me here in Psalm 1. We're going to go ahead and read it. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." And so we see here that the man that is blessed, he does not walk with the ungodly. He has not decided to start a relationship with someone who is against God. And it says here, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And so God doesn't even want you to receive advice from those people. He doesn't want you to be exposed to the things that are coming out of their mouth. He doesn't want their wicked, ungodly counsel that is against God, things that are against this book, things that are against our Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you subjecting yourself to that and being around it all the time. It says, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He doesn't want you to have a personal relationship with those people. He doesn't want you to stand with them. He doesn't want you to be wherever they go. He doesn't want you to walk with them. He doesn't want you to have a friendship. And I'm telling you, a friendship is more than just someone you know.
That's right.
It's more than someone you know. And keep that in mind. This is a more intimate, it's more intimate than just an acquaintance. It's more intimate than just, you know, a neighbor that you witness to or something like that. A friendship is somebody that you are walking with. And we need to be careful about that. Look at verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And so the man that is blessed, he has chosen his friends wisely, and he has allowed the words of God to make that decision for him. And it's the words of God that he gets his delight in. It's the words of God that he finds his joy in. And so he doesn't get joy from the things that the wicked and the ungodly do, you know, all the he doesn't take his joy in sin. He doesn't like to take things from people that aren't his. He doesn't like to laugh at dirty jokes and be inappropriate. He doesn't like to find his joy in all the things of this world that have no benefit whatsoever to his spirit. He doesn't like or take joy in those things that hinder his walk with God and get between him and his Savior, the Lord. And so we need to be mindful of that. We need to follow that example. And look at verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And I'm going to tell you today, especially you young people tonight, if you want to be successful, you need to have a relationship with the Lord, and you need to have a relationship with this book. You need to find your delight in the words of God. You need to choose your friends wisely, and you need to put the Lord first. That is how you have success, is when you find your success in the Lord. I mean, look at all the blessings here in verse 3. A tree planted by the rivers of water bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That is godly success, because this man chose to put the Lord first, and he chose to obey the words of God rather than listen to what the world around him was trying to get him to do. We need to follow that example. Now look at verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. And we talked about that the other night when I gave my testimony in Jeremiah. You know, what is the chaff to the wheat, right? There's substance in wheat. God likened his word to the wheat. There's substance. There's nutrients. There's nutrition to that. You can live off that. He can feed. You can be fed with wheat. But chaff, there's nothing there. There's nothing of subsistence there. There's no root. There's nothing to take from it that's good. And he says the ungodly are like that. The people that don't get their delight in the word of God, the people that just want to go out in the world and do whatever their flesh wants them to do, they have no substance. They lack all the blessings of the man who has chosen to put God first. Their spiritual life is dry at best. At best. In reality, it's dead. Verse 5 says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And I want to repeat again tonight, it is important that you decide who you walk with based on what the Word of God says. You need to put God first, and you need to prioritize His words, and you need to find joy in the words that are written in this book.
Amen.
That is where your delight needs to be. Not out in the world and all these other things, not sports, TV, and everything in between. I love to hunt. I think hunting is great. I like shooting, and I like doing all that stuff. But that's not my priority. It can't be. It just can't be. My flesh wants to prioritize it. But we have to make sure we check ourselves according to the Word of God.
Amen.
And that His words are our priority, and that His words are the standard that we make our decisions based upon. If you would please turn with me to Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3. While you do that, I'm going to sip some water. Amos chapter 3. We're going to look at one verse here. Verse 3 says this: Can two walk together except they be agreed? Before you establish a walk with somebody, before you choose your friends, somebody that you are going to have perhaps a lasting relationship with, and I want to say this before we go any further. This doesn't just mean somebody that you hang out with and spend a lot of time with. It doesn't mean a hunting buddy or somebody that you go fishing with. It doesn't mean somebody that you play sports with or spend extra time with. This could also apply and does apply everything we're talking about tonight. If you're going to find a husband or you're going to find a wife,
right,
you need to apply this to that as well, because that's the person on this earth you're going to spend the most time with. You will be best friends, or should be best friends, with that person that you decide to marry. There is a deeper friendship there than with anybody else. And these same principles need to be applied from the Word of God, especially young folks. If you are looking at trying to get married at some point, which you should, you need to apply these principles. You need to make sure your priorities are where they should be, with the Lord and in the Word, before you proceed with that. And so keep that in mind as we continue, please. But first, you need to make sure and establish that what you believe is the gospel of Jesus Christ, according to the Bible only, and the truth of God's Word. So you need to know what you believe, and you need to know what you believe from this book.
Amen.
And then you need to make sure that the other person believes the same biblical truth that you do according to the Scriptures before you decide to walk with them. Before you decide to have a deeper relationship with them, they need to know that Jesus Christ is the Lord. They need to know the basic doctrines of this book that are taught. It doesn't mean they have to be perfectly aligned in everything that you are, but there are certain things that they need to understand. They need to know that forgiveness of sins only comes through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They need to know that they must be born again. They need to know that this book right here is going to be your priority in life. They need to know that the God of this book comes first in your life. And before they can understand that, you need to make sure that they know that that's true. And it needs to be. Always remember this: your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ comes first. It is more important than any walk with anyone else. Turn with me, if you would please, now to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And read with me, if you would, in verses 11 through 14 here. Some words about our good and faithful shepherd here. Verse 11, Jesus Christ says this: I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Now, if you would, go with me now to verses 22 through 30. Remember what our Lord just repeated there. He is the good shepherd. He knows his sheep, and he is known of his sheep. Verse 22, And it was at Jerusalem the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And so Jesus said, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I want to tell you tonight that before you decide who your friends are going to be, you need to decide that you are going to follow the Good Shepherd. Amen. You need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? If you do that, let me tell you something. If you want to know who to walk with, just follow Jesus Christ. And whoever you find is walking with you as they follow Jesus too, then that is who you should walk with. That's how that works. That's who you should walk with. Just focus on your walk with the Lord, and He will put that person or those people that He wants you to walk with in your life. And the whole purpose of that relationship that you're going to find yourself in is going to be walking with the Lord together. It's going to be a relationship that glorifies God in both of you. And so if you want to know who to walk with, if you want to know who your friends ought to be, focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Set your eyes, set your affection, set your heart, set your mind, set everything you've got on Jesus Christ and walk with Him and pursue Him and then look around every once in a while and you'll find out who your friends are. He will decide that for you if you just prioritize Him. It's that simple, but we get in the way. We like to make our own decisions. We like to choose our own friends. We like to set our own schedules. We like to do things our way. But we just need to set ourselves aside and focus on Jesus and follow our Good Shepherd. And He'll take care of the rest. He will help us decide who we ought to be with. Let Him decide, because I think we can all agree He knows best. Amen?
That's right.
He knows best. Now, if you would please, turn with me to Acts chapter 11. And we're going to look at an example here of somebody that we should walk with. Somebody that could be a good friend. We're going to take a look at the characters, the qualities, and the traits of someone. We're going to take a look at what makes them that way. If you're looking for a friend, this will probably be a good example to look for. Acts chapter 11, we're going to read verses 19 through 26. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Now pay attention to this. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And so we're going to go through verses 22 through 26 and take a good look at some good examples of someone that we ought to seek to be our friend, to get a better understanding here. Verse 22 says, Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. And I want to tell you tonight that if you're looking for a friend, you need to find someone who is active in the church.
Amen.
You need to find someone who is serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to find someone who is doing something for the Lord. That's where Barnabas was here. That's where he was found, and that was the business that he was about. Verse 23, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. And I want to tell you tonight that if you are looking for a friend, you need to find someone that is not afraid to speak of the grace of God at work in their life and who is glad in the Lord and who will encourage you to draw closer to the Lord. That's what Barnabas is doing here, and that's the kind of person you need to be with. You need to be with somebody who is going to encourage you to draw closer to the Lord, somebody that understands that Jesus Christ is more important to you than they are. That's the kind of person that you need to yoke up with. That's the kind of person you need to look for, whether it be for a possible marriage or whether it just be somebody to walk through life with as a companion. That's the kind of person you need, someone that's going to point you and lift you up to Him. Verse 24. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. I want to tell you tonight that if you're looking for a friend, you need to find a man or a woman that is a good man or a good woman. You need to find someone who is full of the Holy Ghost. You need to find someone who is full of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and full of faith in the very words of God. You need to find someone who is walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh, someone whose habit is to follow the Lord.
Yes.
Someone who can generally be said of that they are a good person. We all have old flesh. We all fail. Barnabas was no example of perfection. But he was full of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He was submitted to God. He had let the Lord work through him in order to produce these characteristics that we see here. Okay? Every one of us, see, he's not better than anyone here. He's not better than any lost person. We are all sinners before God, and we all have this old sinful flesh that we have to contend with. But when you submit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and you let the Holy Spirit fill you and let God work through you, it will produce the Christ-like characteristics that you need and that you need to find in a person to call your friend. Verse 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. I want to tell you tonight that if you are looking for a friend, you need to find someone who is not afraid to get up and move when God tells them to do something. Someone who responds to God's Spirit and God's Word. Someone that is not afraid to do what God wants them to do, who is going to fear God rather than fear man. You need to find someone like that when you're looking for a friend, when you're looking for a companion. Don't just look for something shallow. Don't just look for some temporary company. Don't look for another Facebook friend or anything like that.
Right.
Don't get on Instagram or Snapchat or whatever it is. That's not where you find a friend. You know where you find a friend? In church.
Yes.
You find a friend where you find God.
Good.
You find a friend where the Word of God is lifted up. That's where you need to look for your friends. And God will provide. He will provide. Verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And I want to tell you tonight, if you're looking for a friend, you need to find somebody who faithfully and consistently assembles themselves with and in the church. You need to find someone who receives with gladness God's words, which are written in Hebrews 10:25, that does not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Do not look for someone that skips out on opportunities to go to church for no godly or otherwise biblically acceptable reason. Find someone who is a biblical Christian. Find someone who is a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Amen, preacher. Yes,
sir. That's what you need to look for in a friend. These are the qualities that the Holy Ghost produced in Barnabas. These are the qualities that we need to search for in a friend. Now you say, well, that's an awfully tall order here, brother. Well, it is. It is. And in fact, Barnabas was unable to accomplish any of those things. In fact, Barnabas himself never produced a single one of those qualities. You and I cannot produce a single one of those qualities. We cannot be the friend that Barnabas would have been to us on our own. We can't do that. If you're looking at these scriptures tonight like it's some kind of checklist, and, oh, well, I need to do this, I need to do this, I need to be this, I need to be that, then you've looked at it all wrong. Because what did it say? It said he was full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. I'm going to tell you that before you can even appreciate the characteristics and the qualities that are found in Barnabas here in these passages, you need to have a personal desire to have those qualities and those characteristics found in you. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to appreciate a friend like that. You just won't.
Amen.
You might get envious or jealous or say, you know what, I can't keep up. I'm doing my own thing. That's not the right way to look at it. Barnabas wasn't special. He wasn't better than any one of you or me or anyone. It was the power of the Holy Ghost working in Barnabas that produced those qualities. And if you just keep your eyes and your heart and everything you got focused on the Lord Jesus, if you follow the Good Shepherd, He will, Christ will, by the power of the Holy Ghost working in you, He will produce those qualities.
Amen.
And then you will find yourself next to a Barnabas. You will find yourself with a friend that has these qualities and characteristics. In fact, you might find out that you are that Barnabas yourself. If you just submit to the power of the Holy Ghost working in you, if you exalt this book, and before you decide to walk with someone, you decide first to walk with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If we could, please, let's go ahead and just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for your Holy Scripture, Lord. We thank you for your words that you give us, Lord. I just pray, God, that you would help us, Lord, to surrender to the Holy Spirit at work in our hearts. Pray, God, that you would help us prioritize your word. I pray, Lord, that you would just help us to choose our friends wisely and to realize that it's not as shallow as the world says that it is, Lord. Friendship is not as shallow as the world depicts it or social media depicts it or the internet tells us it is, God. But it is a walk, Lord. It is something that is supposed to last a lifetime or at least should in many cases, Lord. I pray, God, that you would help us to submit to your will, to exalt your word always, and that we would walk with you first, set our eyes on you, and let you provide the friends that we need, and let you, God, produce the fruits that we find in Barnabas here in us, God, because he couldn't do it himself. We can't do it. We need you working in us, God. Help us to submit to you and walk with you that we may be that friend that we should seek. To your glory, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Friendships need to be purposeful. I know sometimes personalities just kind of click, but you can click with wrong people.
That's right.
You can be physically attracted to someone, you know, in a dating relationship, and that'll flutter your heart, might make your life miserable.
Yes.
You need to really consider what you've heard tonight.
And
I'd like to say, all of you young people, we have a number of young adults in this room tonight. Not just Connor and Elijah, we have a number of young adults in this room tonight. You really need to consider what you've heard. Can I be blunt here for a minute? I know we're a small church. I came out of church with hundreds of young adults. Hundreds, literally hundreds of young adults. We don't have that. Can I have you look this way for a minute? Why don't you ask God to bring the right friends into your life? Why don't you ask God to bring the right mates into your life? Why don't you go by the standard of what you've heard tonight? I hope you listened well. Whether it's just a friendship or looking for a marital relationship, ask God if I were starting all over again, and you know, Lord led me to my wife. She was very active in the church. She was teaching Sunday school at 15. She was working in the bus ministry every Sunday as a teenager. She was committed to the Lord. And that was attractive. She was a good-looking woman, too. I mean, that was nice. I won't lie, but that was nice. But she loved the Lord. And I would just I just encourage every young man and every young woman in this auditorium, look for someone that is of like faith. It's not good. I'm going to say this. It's not good enough just to be a Christian. You need to have someone that's saved and of like faith. Because there's a lot of people who end up getting married. They're both Christians, but they don't agree about anything. And it ends up causing trouble later on down the road. You say those are awfully high standards. And look around, pastors, there's not much to pick from. Why don't you ask God to bring the right person into your life? And then determine to wait for that person. And all of us have acquaintances and friendships, you know, outside of the thought of marriage. And again, you know, ask God to bring the right people into your life. Ask Him. Why don't you help us try to win some folks, get some folks in here so that there are more people available?
That's right.
I mean, that's what happened to the church I grew up in. Start out with 150 people. Within a year, there's 500. The next year, was 1,000. And I know that's unusual. That doesn't happen very often. But I'm saying they just took the opportunities to go out and start bringing people in, winning people to Christ, and all of a sudden, things change. So anyway, just have that mindset. God, I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to go according to what we just heard preached tonight. That was really good.
Amen.
Blunt, to the point. But that was necessary and good to hear. Good to hear. So I'm going to have you do this. We're going to stand and give you an invitation. Whether you come down to this altar or just make an altar where you stand with me, please. Just want you to bow your heads for a moment and just stop and consider what you've heard tonight. And you know what? This isn't just for young adults or young or children. Good night. We as adults, even us older adults, we make decisions about who we're going to associate with. And we need to make sure that we're associating and making friends with the right people. So I'm just going to have one verse played. And as you hear this, if God has prompted you in some way, you know, again, you don't have to necessarily come to this altar, but I'd ask you to go before God and just seal whatever decision you may make here tonight. Says, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Every part of it. Downstairs in just a moment. I was just thinking while Brother Scott was preaching, I remember my last days of high school, and I went to a very large public school, Maslin Jackson Memorial High School, big school up in Ohio. And I had a couple friends, and they both happened to be born again men. But I remember when I graduated, a guy that was really close to, his name was Bob Neal. Basically never saw him again. Never saw him again. He loved the Lord. I loved the Lord. We helped start a Bible club in that public school together. He was not a Baptist, you know, but we still loved the Lord and still believed in salvation by grace. But we never really saw each other after that. And the reason I'm mentioning that is I think about Connor graduated from high school, Elijah from college. And a lot of those friendships that you might have made during that time are going to fade away. And now there's going to be other people brought into your life in the workforce. or in college, Connor, and you need to take the principles that you just heard and determine, I'm going to apply that to my life as I go to Fairmont State, or as I go, I don't know, Elijah, if you're going to be working in this part of the country, if God opens the door for you somewhere else, whatever it is, that you're going to take those principles that you heard tonight, and you're going to apply them to your life. So trust that that will be a benefit to you. So we'll go ahead and we will head downstairs together. We'll just pray down the stairs for the food, and we'll give a chance to get some photos with the cake tonight. So again, don't eat any of the cake yet until Elijah's had his pretty face in pictures with the cake, and Connor too. So right now we'll head on down and we'll have some time of fellowship down there. All right.